Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for living.
Something to the struggle. If you're struggling, one side or the other has not claimed you yet. So as long as you're struggling, it's a good place to be in. Amen. And we know the outcome of our God. He always leads us in triumph. Wouldn't you agree? Trials turn into testimonies. Amen. Tribulation turns into opportunities. I want you to open your Bibles, if you would, this morning to the Gospel of John. 16th chapter of John this morning. And before we get into the Word, I just want to just share with you, when I got saved, I was very, very blessed to be able to be discipled by strong, mature, submitted to authority intercessors.
All right.
How many realize that sometimes people, when they act a little spiritual, they have a tendency to kind of get a little spooky?
Yes, amen.
And next thing you know, they know more than everybody else.
Come on.
And there's something to be said about being under authority. And just to share with you that even though I travel 270 days out of the year, this is probably the last time you'll see me until Easter Sunday. And then after that, it'll probably be the last time you'll see me until December. So our family will be going through the new members class. I included. I don't think that we should be shown any kind of special treatment. We just want to be a part of the church and be a blessing. Amen?
Amen.
Even though I am very special, I don't think that Bishop needs to show me how special I am. But I just never forget the day we met, you know. We were standing next to each other, you know, swinging our girls on the swing, and we struck up a conversation, and we've been friends ever since. And it's without fail. When we were moving into road ministry, Bishop has always made sure that we come and we minister here at the church at least once a year, and I'm very, very grateful for that. I truly am. But when I was saved, I'll be honest with you, when I got born again, the Marine Corps was trying to get rid of me. They were trying to kick me out on a bad conduct discharge, if you could imagine that. Something's going, oh, there we go. I get concerned with electronics, you know, all your notes just gone. But anyways, and then all of a sudden, you know, my brother had been witnessing to me for quite some time. He kept telling me, you know what, this is what I want to encourage, the power of the seed. You know, when you plant seed, when you encourage people, when you tell them something, they're listening, whether they act like it or not. And he kept telling me for about a year that Jesus is your answer, and Jesus is what you need. And the Marine Corps just compounded my issues. And I'm very thankful that I'm not thankful that the brig was full, because there were people in that brig, but it was too full for them to put me in there. So they cut me fresh orders to go to California, and they're just trying to get rid of me. And my younger brother invited me to church. And I was, you know, I thought to myself, well, you know, being an unchurched person, not really not knowing anything about the presence of the power of God, I thought, you know, I'll go to church. You know, what's the big deal? And then I found out that God was in the house.
Right.
And I found out, you know, I thought I could sit on the back row and be safe. And I found that he was just as strong on the back row as he was on the front row.
Come on. Yep.
And before I realized it, I was in the altar giving my heart to Jesus for the first time, knowing what it was like to step out of darkness and step into light, not really knowing what I was getting involved with. And then I left the service talking in a language that was not English. I left the service bilingual. You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
I got baptized in the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues. And I'm very thankful for all that because it's really enhanced my walk with God. You see, these intercessors, we would gather on Friday nights and we would pray from 7 until about 4 in the morning. And they would teach me how to move in word of knowledge in my personal prayer closet so that the Holy Ghost could chart out a Kairos moment through the course of the day so I could live under expectation and anticipation by its influence. Come on, man. I wasn't going to let life catch me off guard anymore. All of a sudden, someone stepped into my life that taught me about how to handle this world.
Right.
Are you listening? And I'm convinced that the church today desperately needs a fresh baptism in this fellowship.
Come on.
Wouldn't you agree? Let me encourage you. You have very few lifelong friends. But there's somebody that's made a commitment to us. He said he's going to stay with us until the church leaves the earth. He's called God the Holy Ghost. Let me encourage you, the Holy Spirit, the one that raised Christ from the dead. You got to remember that the power that that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. And it will quicken your mortal body. You need to understand that. We have to understand that the Spirit of truth has been sent to lead us and to guide us into all truth.
Amen.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yep.
So I got a feeling that even though it might not be truly obtainable, I'm just going to pitch it and try and provoke you to chase it. I believe that God the Father wants us to try and know the Holy Ghost as well as the Holy Ghost knows us. Now, how many realize that that'll transform your life?
Yes, sir.
You have to remember that the one down on the inside of you is the Father's voice. The one that's down on the inside of you is the Son's walk. And he has been sent to commission the church to act in the earth and to represent the kingdom of God in the earth like Jesus himself. We're called sons of God. Anybody ever heard of Derek Prince? There was a man by the name of Derek Prince. And Derek Prince said this. He said, "The only regret that I have in life is that I did not spend enough time with the Holy Spirit." Now, you have to remember that Derek Prince was an author, a tremendous minister of God that moved in the power of God, somebody who knew God very, very well. And for him to say that really provoked me to want to spend as much quality time with the Holy Spirit as I possibly can. This thing's going crazy again. But anyways, let's go into John. Hopefully this will catch up. There we go. John chapter 16. I want you to see some things here. Verse 13 says, "However, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will, for he will not speak of his own authority, but whatever he hears, he'll speak, and he will tell you things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take of what is mine and declare it to you. All things that the Father hath are mine. Therefore I said that he will take of mine and declare it to you." Aren't you thankful for that? Amen. I want to encourage you. Anybody ever heard of a man by the name of Charles Spurgeon?
Yes.
Charles Spurgeon said, he said this. He said, "When you see what the Holy Spirit is trying to lead you into, sorrows flee away."
All right.
Come on, amen. The Bible tells us that men can lead us to a truth, but there is only one that can lead you into a truth.
All right. Come on now.
He's been sent to lead and guide the church. He's called the Paraclete, into all truth. We live in a world that is fallen. We live in a world that is after our life to kill, steal, and destroy. But we have somebody that we have been brought into fellowship with. And I want to encourage you, he has been sent to lead us into everything that the kingdom of God has to offer us. A great statesman by the name of T.L. Lowry said this: "If you can't manifest the book, sit down."
Come on.
Now, when the man said that, it provoked something in me. I thought to myself, there must be a fellowship that I can have as a minister that when I preach the gospel, there can be signs and wonders that follow.
Come on. Come on.
And I don't know what it is about today's pulpit in America. It's almost like everybody wants to be somebody's best friend. It's almost like people want to sit on somebody's front porch and drink sweet tea and you know, flip them, you know, a spiritual aspirin concerning their spiritual headaches. Nobody wants to drag somebody out of the gutter and bring them into the glory. Nobody's really interested in getting people living in victory in this life. Nobody's really interested in getting somebody truly to heaven. It's almost like we just want to sustain and just kind of get by. My friends, I'm telling you, Jesus laid out a truth here. He said this. He said, everything that the Father has is mine.
Come on.
And he said this. He said, the Holy Spirit will take what is mine, will take what is mine, will take what is mine, and give it to you. Yes. And the Holy Ghost down on the inside of you has no problem with taking.
Right.
You need to understand that. The world is trying to rob you blind, but the Spirit of truth down on the inside of you is trying to lead you into something whereby you are able to take what is rightfully yours and begin to apply it and implement it as you are led into the truth of that principle.
Come on.
Come on, amen. I want to encourage you this morning. Look at the book of Ezekiel. I'm going to put it up on the screen. I am going to move a little quicker. I'm sorry, in the first service due to time, than maybe in the second service. But as we're going to Ezekiel chapter 36, verse 26, the Lord said something to me at the first of last year. He said, son, I'm going to do what I've never done before, and it's not that I couldn't do it. And what he was basically trying to tell me is, if you would just get out of the way. Come on, somebody. If I would just get out of the way, if I would just let the distractions of this life go, if I would spend more time under the influence of the Holy Spirit, if I would stay in the mind of Christ, if I would stay in the light of God's Word, he would be able to do some things that he had never done before, even though he was well able to do it.
All right, come on.
Can I be honest with you? I feel something creeping up on this house.
Yes, sir. Yeah.
I believe with all my heart that the early and the latter rains have collided. And I believe with all my heart the Lord told me this. He said last year, son, I am beginning to harvest the earth. We have not even begun to see the harvest yet.
Yeah.
But I'm telling you, there has got to be a group of people alive under the purpose of their destiny on the face of the earth to understand the timing of what God is doing in the earth. Men and women like the sons of Issachar who had wisdom to know what to do, to discern the times. And my friends, we definitely live in perilous times, but as a nation, something has been set into motion. I firmly believe that we have stepped into one of the greatest revival times that the world or the planet has ever seen before. And I'm watching something. I'm watching the church. The simple implication and application of what all we need to do is simply this. Do what you were created to do. Worship God. Just worship God.
Come on.
Worship God until you host God.
Hey.
And then whatever God wants to do, let him do it.
Amen.
I watched miracles try to take the service over on Wednesday. I feel that same anointing here this morning.
Hallelujah.
I want to encourage you that the Holy Ghost is your best counselor. He's your safe guide. He's somebody that you can trust. How many realize the church can get a little routine sometimes?
Anybody
know what I'm talking about? We don't really worship to let worship penetrate our hearts. We don't really listen to the Word of God to the point that we take it home three times a week and we go over it and we go over it and we go over it so that we can really absorb for application what we've heard.
Come on.
Sometimes we can get into a little bit of a routine.
Uh-huh.
All right? But young adults, hear me and hear me good. I don't care who you are. Generation X, this is when all that mess started, all the humanism tried to come on the body of Christ. I'll never forget it. I'm getting ready to do this big statewide youth ministry camp up in Pennsylvania. And they said, well, we want you to come. And I'm praying. I'm saying, God, well, you know what? What would you have me to tell them? And he said, son, he said, society calls them Generation X. But I want you to tell them that any pirate puts an X over buried treasure. And I threw that word out to them, and my God, the place blew up.
Come on.
Come on, amen. I don't care if you're from the Generation X generation. It doesn't matter if you're a hipster this morning. It doesn't matter if you're a millennial. The bottom line is we are all born again in a fallen world, and we must learn how to navigate successfully through this relationship, the Spirit of Truth, the one that is able to lead us into because he's led us out of. Come on, amen.
Yep.
Young people, you do not have to fall prey to the temptations of this life. The world is underneath the sway of the God of this world, and there's nothing that they can do about it until they get saved.
Come on.
But I tell you, every young adult, you don't have to be depressed. You don't have to be oppressed. You don't have to go through eating disorders. You don't have to be angry like anybody else. You don't have to think that you can't rise and succeed. My friends, you are governing your life after something that is totally different than the average person.
Come on now.
Ezekiel 26 says this. I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you.
Hallelujah.
I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Then you shall dwell in the land that I give to your fathers. You shall be my people, and I will be your God.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Yeah.
He goes on to say this. However, when he, the Spirit of Truth, has come. Well, that's back to John. Verse 29 of Ezekiel. I'll just read it to you. He says, I will deliver you from all your uncleanness.
All right.
I will call for the grain and multiply it, and bring no famine upon you.
Yes.
Spurgeon goes on to say things like, God puts his spirit so deep within the man that his entire nature feels his presence.
Hallelujah.
Not only about you, but that's exciting to me.
Yes, sir.
For my mind to feel his presence, for my will to feel his presence, for my emotions to feel his presence, for my flesh to feel his presence. I'm glad that I don't serve a God that is made out of wood or stone. I serve a God that talks. I serve a God that walks. And I serve a God that I can feel. Now, I don't walk by how I look at things, or I don't walk by how I feel. I walk by faith. But my friends, the God we serve is alive and well.
Hallelujah.
Wouldn't you agree?
Yes, hallelujah.
I want you to know that the Holy Spirit infuses a new life, a fountain of holiness. And can I say something to you about holiness? I mean, I don't want to cuss in church, but you know, there are certain words that are cuss words in church, like holiness and sanctification and righteousness. And
come on.
And I know church people are afraid of these words. And the reason they're afraid of these words is because they have been used to control people.
Right.
They're not controlling words. They're covenant words.
Come on.
Out of the divine life of God, are you kidding me? To understand holiness is to really understand the leverage of authority. Jesus said this. Jesus said that the God of this world came to me and he could find nothing in me.
All right.
So what does that tell us? It tells us that we're holy just as he is holy. We pursue sanctification for a reason, and that is to make sure that we get out of our lives anything that is of this life, that the God of this life can move in on our life with and use it as leverage. And if we pay attention to that, you and I have a platform to be able to exercise our authority through that is second to none. It's called the process of sanctification. Let me encourage you. The next time you get under conviction, don't act like the CEO of the White Knuckle Club. Amen? And don't wait for your neighbor to respond. If God's dealing with your heart, you respond. Okay? Because conviction is the highest form of intervention. And all that's taking place is God simply saying, hey, look, let me take that out of your life and let me show you what I want in your life. Because what I want in your life is a whole lot better than what you think you need in your own life. Let me encourage you, you can go bowling and still stay saved. You can go to a movie and still stay saved. You might not be able to play golf and still stay saved. But you can enjoy this life and still be saved.
Amen.
Isn't that right? Amen. Communion with the Holy Spirit. Watch, Spurgeon says this. He says this new nature cannot sin because it's born of God.
All right.
Hello? Now, I don't know about you, but this is the part of me that I want to be living life after. I don't know what it is about born-again people. We're always trying to live life from the outside in when we should be living life from the inside out. Yeah,
hallelujah.
You and I have been blessed with something. It's called the divine nature of God. Right?
Come on.
I want to encourage you. Spurgeon goes on to say, he says that wherever the Holy Ghost dwells, men do not go back into their ruins.
Hallelujah.
He says this, however, when we have no commentator or minister, we still have the Holy Spirit. He said, let me tell you a little secret. Whenever you can't understand a text, open your Bible, bend your knee, and pray.
Hallelujah. Good word.
He says, prayer is the key that opens the cabinets of mystery. Prayer and faith are sacred pick locks that can open secrets and tutor. We only have to bend our knee, and he is at our side, the expositor of the truth. Amen. Let me encourage you. God wants fellowship with his people.
Yes.
And I'm telling you, there's something in this fellowship that is second to none. Exodus 24. I'm going to make sure I got the reference right. Exodus tells us in Exodus 28, verse 12, that God said to Moses, come up and be with me, and I will give you. And many times what happens is we come to church and we use terminology like this. Lord, come and join us in your house. Hello?
Come on.
How many realize that this is God's house? Where God's presence dwells.
Amen.
And when we come into his house, we are actually being invited to join him.
Right.
So what does that mean? It means that whatever this fallen world has been trying to clutter your life with, you have an opportunity to leave it behind as you come in and be invited to join God where he is.
Come on now.
Are you listening? And see, you got to remember something, that what God gave Moses is something that is still changing the world. And I'm convinced that in the meeting place of God's presence, the spirit of truth that is trying to lead us into something. You got to remember that sometimes you're going to get challenged, but that's okay. I've learned that to be challenged is a compliment. You know, the kingdom of heaven sometimes suffers violence, but the violence, take it.
Yes.
By force. What does that mean? It means that I know that I'm alive unto a principle that is alive and well and that can make a rock give water in the desert and make the desert bloom and bring quail on the eastern wind. I know that I am living life after the Word of God, after the illumination of revelation, which is a constant redefiner in my life when the world tries to make me look like something contrary to what the Word of God says I look like. Come on, amen. I know that I am applying principles that cannot fail. Against such, there is no law, Galatians chapter 5 tells us. And my friends, I'm telling you, when a world is out to try and destroy me, I would rather stay connected to a world that is out to try and bless me.
Hallelujah.
And I am blessed in a fallen place. Now, this is now how we've got to learn how to live. Wouldn't you agree?
Yes.
I want you to go to the first chapter of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes. See, everybody looks at books like this and they don't see the life that is in them. But I want you to know that in every book of the Bible, there is a redemptive plan. And in the book of Ecclesiastes, we're going to find that 9 different times there was a terminology that is used. Everybody shout the Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
Victory over this life, this fallen life, is sustained by your relationship with Him. Zechariah 4:6 says, "It's not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, says the Lord."
Yes.
Wouldn't you agree? Everybody in the church today has been blessed with the opportunity to be able to have change of nature, change of life, no matter where that change is needed. The simple fact is this: you can have as much fellowship with the Holy Ghost as you want.
That's it. Come on now.
Let me tell you, I'm down in downtown Tampa, and I pray in the Spirit for hours. I'm blessed to be able to travel and minister, and I pray in the Holy Ghost for 3, 4, 5 hours a day. And I roll up next to this kid in downtown Tampa, and he's got a stereo system in his car that's worth more than the car. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, 3 cars around you are shaking and vibrating. Right, and he's got a seat all the way back, and he's got his lid on sideways, and he wasn't able to look over his steering wheel. Was kind of looking through that quarter moon between the dash and the steering wheel. And man, he had a stereo just blasting. And me trying to get his attention probably looked something like this. And I finally got his attention. He turned down the stereo, and I said, "Young man," I said, "the Lord told me to tell you that He's got a plan for your life. That if you'll accept Him as your Savior, God's got a plan for your life." I said, "Has anybody ever told you that?" He said, "No." He said, can you please let me get in front of you? And you see that CVS parking lot right over there? We'll pull into that parking lot and you can tell me more about this. I got gangsters pulling out of traffic just by simply giving them a simple word from God. I'm telling you, friends, what we have is so enticing to the fallen, it's not even funny. Now, this, you got to put it in perspective. They don't like you because they envy you. They wish that they had the character that you have to live your life by. But the only reason you have the character to live your life by is because you've had an awakening concerning the character that God pre-programmed you with to respond to His Spirit with.
All right.
Every one of you are pre-programmed. Jesus is time released in you. If you were to get the fullness of Him on the spot, you'd blow up. But how many realize that we're going from faith to faith, from glory to glory? Isn't that right? So let's read this in proper perspective then. In chapter 1 of Ecclesiastes, verse 1, the words of the preacher, the son of David, king in Jerusalem. Vanity of vanities, says the preacher, vanity of vanities, all is vanity. What profit is a man from his labor in which he toils under the sun? One generation passes away and another generation comes, but the earth abides forever. The sun also rises and the sun goes down and hastens to the place where it arose. The wind goes towards the south and turns around to the north. The wind whirls about continually and comes again on its circuit. All the rivers run into the sea, yet the sea is not full to the place where from which the rivers come. They return again. All things are full of labor. Man cannot express it. The eye is not satisfied with seeing, nor the ear filled with hearing. That which has been is what will be. That which is done is what will be done. And there is nothing new under the sun. Is there anything of which it may be said, "See, this is new"? Do you understand the mentality that people are under? They're trapped in a cycle that is just that. It is a cycle that they can't get out of. But you got to remember something. With God, everything becomes new.
Yes.
So he goes on to say, he says, it has already been in ancient times before us. There is no, I'm telling you, we're getting ready to write history and the church doesn't even know it. Hallelujah. There is no remembrance of the former things, nor there be any remembrance of the things that which that are to come by those who will come after. I, the preacher, was king over Israel in Jerusalem. I set my heart to seek and to search out by wisdom concerning all that had been done under heaven. This burdensome task God has given to the sons of man by which they may be exercised. I have seen all the works that are done under the sun, and indeed, all is vanity. Everybody read it with me.
All is vanity.
And... so what is he saying? Bishop, Jesus said this, in the flesh, outside of Christ incarnate, there has never been a man that has actually been wiser than Solomon.
Right.
Now, the wisest man in the world is basically saying this, for anybody to think that anything can be any different than the way it always has is like grasping for the wind. Unobtainable. Mm. Impossible. And when I read that, the Holy Ghost jumped in me and he said, not when my wind grabs you.
All right.
I began to recall out of the second chapter of Acts how they gathered in the upper room waiting for the outpouring of Joel's prophecy. The Bible says that they were there for 10 days and 10 nights, and then all of a sudden there came from heaven the sound of a mighty rushing wind. I want you to know that once that wind begins to grab you, something begins to change. I begin to realize I didn't have to be a Marlboro man anymore. I begin to realize I didn't have to do drugs anymore. I realized I didn't have to go to jail anymore. I realized that I could be successful. I all of a sudden I begin to live life after the influence of a brand new life in a life that has fallen. By paying attention to the wind of the Holy Ghost. Come on, amen. Now I want you to pay attention to this, because nine times in the book of Ecclesiastes, this terminology is used. For anything to be different is like grasping for the wind. Nine is the number of finality. Nine is the number of the gifts of the Spirit. Nine is the number of the fruit of the Spirit. So for things to be different in the fallen world, I've got to stay under the influence of the wind of heaven. I got to, listen folks, let me tell you something. The world cannot offer you agape love.
No.
It might be able to offer you storge and phileo and eros love, but it might not be able to offer you agape love, because this agape love is stuff that's shed abroad in your heart, Romans 5:5, by the Holy Spirit. This is unconditional love. This is love that is beyond natural understanding. Come on, amen. The world can't offer you joy.
Right.
It can offer you happiness, but happiness needs everything to be right for it to be operative. Joy is your strength.
Yes.
And when everything is full of chaos, all of a sudden you're full and you're strong and you're under the influence of the wind of God in a fallen world, and you're not buying into what the world is trying to get you to buy into, because you've already been led into something different. Peace. This world can't give you peace.
No.
You can have temporary peace, but I'm talking about peace that surpasses your understanding, peace that rules your heart, peace that doesn't allow you to be deceived by deception and tempted and brought into misthinking.
Come on.
You don't think that I've not had some disrupted peace over the last month and a half? But see, I know what's going on. The Lord showed me this morning when I was praying. I'm being pushed. I'm being pushed into a very thin tunnel right now. And how many realize that when a whole lot goes into a very thin tunnel, what comes out on the other side comes out with pressure?
Come on. Yeah, yeah.
And I know that on the other side of this struggle, I'm just simply here to tell you this, the devil messed with the wrong person.
Yeah, yeah.
I believe with all my heart that if you are dealing with something right now, I believe that the devil is messing with the wrong people. I want to encourage you. You're going to come out on the other side of this thing with more pressure, more determination, and on the other side of this thing, you're going to explode in fruitfulness like you've never had it before. So, like our pastor said, it's okay to doubt. That's what my daughter blessed me with last week. But it's not okay to get into unbelief.
Right.
Doubt is not sin. Doubt's just a waiting place.
Hallelujah.
And I'll guarantee you, if you wait any time at all with God, you won't doubt long. If there's one thing that 35 years of ministry, 23 years of full-time road ministry has taught me, I know that God comes through.
Yes, he does.
He scares me.
Yes, he does.
But I know that God comes through.
Amen.
Amen?
Hallelujah.
Let me encourage you. I'm through this introduction here. First thing that I want to share with you is this in the book of Ecclesiastes, because I don't want to do a little march through Ecclesiastes. First thing I want to share with you is this, that the winds of life move you from prosperity to barrenness. I want to encourage you, if you're in business, don't trust in uncertain riches. Hello? James chapter 5. I want to encourage you to make sure that you always honor God with your finances, where moth nor rust can do anything about it. Secondly, second chapter of Ecclesiastes. We're going to do a little march now, verse 17. Secondly, I want to encourage you, don't be satisfied with the things that you can consume.
All right.
How many realize that you're not built to be completely satisfied all the time? There's only one thing that can completely satisfy you all the time, and that is the revelation of God's word. Are you listening? You get up, I don't know what time you eat breakfast, but you eat breakfast, but you know, somewhere around the noontime, all of a sudden your dinner bell, or whatever you call it, some people call it lunch, some people call it dinner. I know in the South most people call it dinner. Your dinner bell goes off because you're hungry. And then all of a sudden around 6 o'clock, your supper bell goes off. Because what you have eaten or what you have put into your body is not sustaining you. It's not satisfying you.
Right.
But let me just encourage you. You can get a hold of a revelation of God's word, and I'll guarantee you that thing, you can chew on that thing for weeks. That thing will keep you up at night, and it'll keep you up in the morning. But by the time it's done, it'll look like a billboard driving down interstate. Come on, amen. Your cup will be full and running over. I want to encourage you that in the second chapter of Ecclesiastes, verse 26, to think that whatever you could own is going to be fulfilling is a deception. It's like grasping for the wind. But remember something. It's okay to have things, just as long as things don't have us.
That's it.
I've learned that freely you've received, freely you give. And whatever God tells you to do, you just do it. Right? I'll never forget it. I was given a presidential Rolex watch. And that's a $36,000 watch. And I'm thinking to myself, I can't wear that to church. People won't give me a dime. So I set it on my dresser. So when we were over at the townhouse, I set it on my dresser, and you know, I was a Timex man at the time, and I didn't know they ran by kinetics. You know, you got to wear them, man. And I didn't know that. There's this Rolex sitting on my dresser, and it stopped ticking. And I yelled down to Jody. I said, "Jody, I got to go to the jewelry store." He said, "How come?" I said, "I got to get this Rolex a battery." Now, could you imagine me going into a jeweler, handing him this watch and saying, "I need a battery for it"? Come on, amen. Listen, folks, I remember over here just not too long ago, well, it's been a number of years back, there was a family sitting on borrowed furniture. And the thing was is that whoever gave them the furniture, if they were to move back into state, had the right to reclaim it. And we're in an evening service that I'm preaching in, and this man is in the altar, and I got my hands on him, and the Holy Ghost says, give him all your furniture. And I said, what? And the Lord said, give him all your furniture. You're getting ready to go for 3 months. You won't need it. What I didn't know was that day, those people had moved back into state, and a family of nine now had no furniture. Come on, somebody. Are you listening to what I'm saying? The wind of God will fill you in such a way that it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what you own or what you don't own. I'm telling you, God, didn't Paul tell us that we can learn how to be content whether we're abasing or whether we're abounding?
Yep.
It doesn't matter what you have. It doesn't matter where you live. It doesn't matter the job that you have right now. None of that matters. The only thing that matters is that you identify with the one that can settle you and then begin to show you how to live successfully, personally, in this life. It'll keep you away from competing with people.
Hallelujah.
Good work. Some of you just need to learn how to enjoy being you.
Come on.
I like me.
Come on.
I don't always understand me. Can I encourage you? How about chapter 4, verse 6? Who you could marry or the children that you could have. Now, I want to be very careful here, but I do want to tell you the truth. Please listen to me. Marriage is not designed for you to be happy in. It's the truth. Yeah, I'm going to try, Bishop. I don't want to leave you with a problem. Or Pastor Steve when he comes back. Well, Dr. Hines said I can be miserable in my marriage. That's not what I'm talking about. I want to encourage you. It's not designed to make you happy. Because how many realize that happiness needs everything to be going right for happiness to be happiness?
Right.
We have to understand. Many times what happens is we get married and we think that we've made a mistake. You haven't made a mistake.
Come on.
You've married the right person. I flew all the way to Arizona to figure this out. I got mad at Jody. Jody was mad at me. I'm going to do a camp meeting, and all of a sudden I'm walking into my hotel room, and the Holy Ghost said, stop right there. He said, number one, I'm tired of, you know, listening to you talk about my daughter that way. Well, what about me? You know, what is it? What is it about us? What about me? What about me? Right?
Yep.
And the Lord said this. He said, son, he said, I brought that woman into your life to reveal your life.
Oh.
Don't blame her for what she shows you about you. So I began to realize I had a shift-blaming spirit. I began to realize that God had sent me a godly woman to be a tool in my life to help me see about me what I needed to see about me so that I could replace it with the revelation of what Jesus wanted to be in me. Folks, I want you to know something. It has nothing to do with toilet paper going this way or toilet paper going that way. Isn't that right, Bishop? Had nothing to do with squeezing the tube of toothpaste in the middle or rolling it up from the back.
Yes.
Nothing to do with that. My friends, when your spouse reveals something about you, you should walk over and shake their hand and say, thank you. You need to do it to the general public too. Instead of getting offended and getting out of control, this is the way the world acts. You're supposed to be under the influence of the divine nature. You're supposed to be moving in the power of the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
You just walk over and thank somebody that's just been sent by the devil to offend you and just say, thank you. You've given me opportunity to honor God.
All right.
I love it when I walk into rooms and I don't know nobody in the room. And by the time I get ready to leave the room, there's a whole lot of attitude from people in the room towards me. I just look at them and say, I get it. I'm light and you're darkness. And if you keep fooling around, God will give me a word of knowledge to open your heart, and the wind of God will change your world.
All right.
Come on, amen. Let me encourage you. How about in chapter 5 and verse 16? Your walk with God can be a labor when it should be a joy. Can I encourage you? You're on your own growth pattern. You don't have to be like anybody else. Just learn to be the person that God wants you to be. We've got all kinds of suggestions from a fallen world. If you'll use this product, you know, if you'll wear this line of clothing, or if you'll do this, if you'll walk this way, talk this way, whatever, you'll be okay, you'll fit in. I don't like to fit in. I like to cut against the grain. I like to go against the flow. I like to be who I am.
Yep.
Come on, amen? Now, I'm not talking about being who I am to the point of being annoying. Because I know a lot of people that think that they're anointed and all they really are is annoying.
Right.
Isn't that right?
Yep.
But I want to encourage you to be free to be who you are. And you know what that means? It means that you don't have to pray like everybody else. It means that you don't have to study like everybody else. You should pray and you should study. It means that you should have your very unique walk with God by being who you are. There's not a person in this room that has the exact same eye retina or voice pattern or fingerprints. So what does that mean? It means that I'm not you and you're not me. But be confident to the point of being free to be you.
Yeah, yeah.
I know people come to church and they get intimidated about clapping their hands. But before they came to a church that could clap their hands, they were wanting to leave a church that made them hold a hymnal in one hand, and they desperately wanted to get into a church service where they could get that hymnal out of their hand and clap their hands. But once they get into a service where they could clap their hands, then all of a sudden nobody's clapping their hands.
Come on.
You might say, well, I ain't got no rhythm. Listen, I got a feeling that the stage is mature enough to handle your first and third beat, or your second and your fourth beat. I got a friend that ain't got no beat at all. You don't want to sing next to him. He's singing the last word that you know that's being sung. The word that's being sung after the next word's being sung. He will mess you up. But I don't got a problem with him. You know why? Because before Christ, he was an alcoholic. Before Christ, he was diagnosed with cancer. Before Christ, his marriage was in the toilet. And now that he's born again, he and Susie are on a honeymoon. He's divinely been healed by God. And my friends, he's no longer addicted to a substance. I don't care how the man wiggles in church. I don't care how he claps his hands in church. I don't care how he lifts his hands in church. My friend, he's just free to be who he is.
Amen.
So would you please find your uniqueness and be okay with that? Because I'll guarantee you the world will be trying to pressure you into being something that you're not.
Right?
How about chapter 6, verse 9? Being able to enjoy everything that God blesses you with. Everything that God blesses you with is something that you should enjoy. And let me just say this to you. If you have not received the baptism of the Holy Ghost with the evidence of speaking with other tongues, it is time to let the Holy Ghost out of you. All right, let me go over here. Because that's all he wants. He just wants out. And when you learn how to yield to the personal baptism of personal tongues, that's really your first step in learning how to flow in the other nine gifts of the Spirit.
Right.
And I'll guarantee you this. I wouldn't want to live a day without the Holy Spirit. I don't know where I'm at time-wise, Bishop. Sir?
You're
9:55. 9:55? Oh, my God. Sorry. So let me give you another point. Chapter 11, verse 5. I want to encourage you. Chapter 11, verse 5. I want to read through this real quick because he says something here. He says, cast your bread upon the waters. Notice it's there in a plural text. cast your bread upon the waters. How many realize that the Holy Spirit's got symbolism all through the Word of God?
Yeah.
He's referred to as water, fire, wind, oil, wine, a dove, the anointing. Seven different symbolisms of the Holy Spirit throughout the Word of God. So he's saying get the Word of God involved with the Holy Ghost, and then you're going to find what God wants you to find, and it's not going to take as long as you think. Come on, amen. Verse 2 says this. It says, give a serving to seven and also to eight, for you do not know what evil will be upon the earth. Seven is the number of completion. Eight is the number of new beginnings. And many times what happens in the life of a believer is we're always wanting to leave something that hasn't completed us yet, because we know the price that completion is going to cost us. We're always wanting to jump into something new. But if you're jumping into something new and you're not completed for the next season, the devil will be there to eat your lunch.
Yes, he will.
And this is why this troubles me about born-again people. Let's just finish what God is wanting to do. I remember I was running from this thing. Rodney Howard Brown was breaking out with all this laughter, everybody rolling on the floor laughing. And I thought, I got in the middle of that in a Kenneth Hagin meeting. And I thought, this is the most ridiculous thing I've ever seen in my life. Now, this is what I said, and this is how ignorant I was. This is what I said. God, I keep my joy level real high. I don't need to do that. And the Lord, how many realize that the Lord will wait you out?
Oh, yeah.
You know where they put me? Put me in the Appalachian coal hills of northeastern Kentucky. You know when everybody in the building looked like wooden Indians?
Oh, yes.
You know what I'm saying?
Yes, sir.
And all of a sudden, the pastor falls off the front row laughing hysterically. And I said, God, I said, you're wrecking the meeting. You're wrecking the meeting. And all of a sudden, wooden Indians started falling out of their pews all over the floor laughing, laughing, laughing. Never happened in the church before. I'm in the middle of this place. Barney Fife lives there. I swear, it's going back in time, man. And I said, God, I said, what's going on? He said, son, he said, if you'll just yield to me, I'll broaden the working of my anointing in you. Next thing I know, I was on the floor with them wooden Indians. Every degree I have fell off the wall that night, and it's been packed in a box ever since. Come on, amen. Glory to God Almighty. And see, what was happening is God was trying to get pride out of me. Because then I had hair. And what I didn't want to happen, I didn't want God to take the shine off my shoes or the crease out of my slacks or mess up the hair that I had sprayed, you know, and fixed before church.
Yeah, yeah.
Come on, amen.
Amen.
Man, I'm telling you, I left that church service looking like Phyllis Diller. They had to drive me home. I mean, where the heck am I? I didn't know my name. I didn't know what happened to me. But I do know this. I do know that a completion took place in me that got me delivered from something so that I could be ready for a new beginning. So don't run from something that God has confronted your life with. I'll guarantee you the last hurdle that God has gotten you over is the same God that's getting ready to help you hurdle the next thing. See, a lot of people think that they can schedule revival. And that's not true. Revival is a manifestation of the culture of the kingdom. It brings with it a moral revolution with a continued purpose. It's not just coming to church and getting blessed. Coming to church and getting blessed or coming into the environment of an awakening is wonderful. But if that's all that happens, you're missing the whole point. You and I are supposed to be exposed to an atmosphere that gathers our attention, that causes our life to give our life more to it, not just be blessed by it. Because what's happening in America is there's a lot of people that think that they're in revival, but see, their behavior is just the same, if not worse, after the revival.
My God.
And it shouldn't be like that.
No.
My friends, you and I are in this world, but we are not of it. And thank God that while we're here, we have embraced the wind that has come from heaven. And the wind that has come from heaven will help you to live successfully in your marriage, in raising your children, in your health, in your finances, in every aspect of life that this world struggles with, because they are still under a fallen influence. They are still under the tyranny of darkness. You and I don't have to struggle with it. You and I can learn how to apply what we need to apply so that we can walk in victory over it. And once you've got victory over something, that thing will think twice about trying and come back and ring your doorbell. So as we read the rest of this, quickly, he says, if clouds are full of rain, they empty themselves upon the earth. And if a tree falls to the south or to the north, in the place where the tree falls, there it shall lie. Or basically, this is decision-making time. Most people set out on life, and they never get off the course of that course that they set for their life. I don't know about you, but number one, if I'm going to point in any direction, first and foremost, I'm going to pray that when I hit, I make an impact on the earth.
Hallelujah.
And that where I'm pointed is pointed in the way of the kingdom.
Amen.
He who observes the wind will not sow, and he who regards clouds will not reap. Or basically what he's saying is, if you're always conditions, if you're always thinking about conditions, you will never move in faith. When maybe the wind is trying to get you to defy the conditions. Do not let conditions rob revelation from you. Let revelation always dictate to the conditions. And he says this, he says, as you do not know what is the way of the wind or how bones grow in the womb of her who is with child, so you do not know the works of God who makes everything. Now, if Moses can know the ways of God and the acts of God, then I want to know them too. Mm-hmm. A lot of times in church, all people know are the acts of God, and they never really know the ways of God. But I'll guarantee you, you know the ways of God, it'll guarantee you the outcome of the acts of God. Amen? Now listen to me. You're here this morning, and you know in your heart, nobody needs to tell you this, you know in your heart that you need to repent of your sins and ask Jesus to come into your heart. And you would like to do that today. You'd like to say, preacher, I want to give my heart to Jesus. I want to get out of this. I want to get out of this tyranny. I want to get out of this mess. I want to get out of this sorrow. If that's you, would you lift your hand and say, I want to get saved today. I want to get right with God. I want to get saved. All right, everybody saved in this service. You're here today, and you want the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You might be here today, and you might want a deeper baptism in the Holy Ghost. You want to start moving in the gifts of the Spirit. Would you stand to your feet right now? Say, I'm hungry for God. I want Him bad. Want Him bad. And can I tell you something? Regardless of how many times you've been prayed for in church, this is easy. This is very, very easy. So let's don't complicate this. Let's just yield to the pull that God has on us today. Amen? And I'll guarantee you this, in the process, there are some miracles that are wanting to break out today. So if you want to be baptized in the Holy Ghost, you want a deeper baptism in the Spirit, get out of your seats and come down. Come to the altar quickly. Just get out of your seats and come and join me.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.